Chapter 3. Nova Marine. The galaxy was littered with the relics of enterprise and war. Across the cosmos, gargantuan structures swung about stars, in some cases all that remained of the people who had built them. Artificial platform worlds, hollow spheres large enough to accommodate planets of 100,000 teramass, rings that bracketed suns in metal, and in instances where such constructions had died, glittering metal belts of artificial asteroids. Many were made for peaceful purposes, but outnumbering them 100 times over were those made for war. Galatan was the greatest of the Ultramarian star fortresses. It was 100 kilometers across. Its population ran into the millions. Its manufacturia rivaled the shipyards of Luna. Its weaponry was the equal of an Imperial sector fleet. Large enough to raise its own regiments for the Ultramarian Auxilia, it maintained a garrison of specialized void troops, tens of thousands strong, supplemented since the days the Plague Wars began with hundreds of space marines and other, more secretive, operatives. Galatan was a world unto itself, with the power to destroy a planet, mightier by far than the other 5 void bastions that had guarded the space lanes of Gilliman's realm. It had proved too daunting a target even for the pride of Typhus, whose lamentable speciality of late had been the reduction of Ultramar's stellar castles. It was to Galatan and the Nova Marines who guarded it for the Primarch that Justinian Paris, Primaris Space Marine, was sent. "These are the peaks of the Titans. Here we commemorate the heroes of our chapter. This is Honorum. This is our home. These are the peaks of the Titans. Honor the statues of the heroes, for they are brothers, as we are your brothers." A soothing voice played over a highland scene, unlike any other. Justinian stood upon the flat summit of a mountain. Hundreds of statues, 50 meters tall, had been laboriously carved from the rock, leaving them rooted by the feet to the stone, while the rest of the peak had been chipped away around them. They were space marines, tall and proud. The most ancient ringed the edge of the plateau, so old the sharpness had eroded from the edges of their armor plates, and their faces were lost. The newest were towards the center, though these too had suffered the effects of the weather. By the look of them, the mountain had been carved a long time in the past, the sculptors moving on to the next summit when all the space was used up, then on to the next, then the next. Every mountain in the range, as far as Justinian could see, was carved this way. Horizontal rain lashed the statues in a freezing wind. Under each statue squatted a human youth, many of them resting against their spears. They were shapes in the shadows of glory. Lightning lit them up, then cast them back into dimness again. They watched other youths guarding other statues with murderous eyes. "Here the tribes of Honorum prove their worth," said the voice in Justinian's head. "They watch and guard the heroes of the past. This is one path to the trial. If one among them should falter in his self-appointed duty of wakeful watch, then he will be challenged, and in this way a potential aspirant might come to guard a hero of greater rank. Rank is determined by age. Rank is determined by valor. Serve long, serve well, and you shall have high rank. You too shall be so commemorated. These are the peaks of the Titans. This is Honorum. This is our home. Honor the dead." The youths did not see Justinian. They were data ghosts, conjured by cogitator and data crystal for his instruction. Or was he the phantom? He was entranced by technology. The effect was disturbingly real, like nothing he had experienced before in a hypnomat. The ersatz memories implanted by other machines in his long life had felt real in retrospect, so real he could rarely tell them from genuine recollection. But the experiences they recalled were never directly undergone, only remembered, and by careful examination their falseness might be discerned. This was different. He felt like he was upon the homeworld of the Nova Marines and not in an isolation tank. He had been told that, as time went by, he would not need the tank or the hypnomat, but would learn to enter this state at will and commune with the dead of Honorum in something the chaplains called the Shadow Novum. It sounded dangerously like witchcraft, and he had said so. He had been assured it was but a mental exercise made possible by a space marine's gifts and careful meditation. His mind wandered. His own memories fought with those of the machine. In his suggestible state, he experienced them afresh, images and sounds overlaid on the soothing Lecter voice. Flashes of the evening of the triumph of Rorqos, when the Indomitus Crusade was dissolved and all of his brothers from the unnumbered suns awaited their orders. Most prominent was poor Bjarni's face at the moment he found out that he and the other sons of Rus remaining in the Crusade were to form the core of a new chapter to guard the pit. Bjarni was not to go home to Fenris after all. All his fears had been realized. Justinian was not to return home either, or at least not for long. He had hoped that he would be chosen for the founding chapter. He had wanted the honor of serving in Ultramarine's blue. He had unrolled the order script from the capsule with shaking hands. The details were sparse but clear. He was to join the Nova Marines, a storied primogenitor chapter of Gilliman's line, founded by a great hero. But they were not the Ultramarines. Justinian was of Ultramar. The culture of the Ultramarines was his own. That of the Nova Marines was alien to him, bizarrely mystical, the ways of Ultramar taken, changed and twisted about, like a familiar tune played on an alien instrument. The hypnomat tapes were for neophytes chosen to reinforce the Nova Marines' roving companies. As much as the chapter tried to source all of its members from their cold, barren homeworld, it was a mobile brotherhood, and fragmented. Their battle forces could be away from the Fortress Monastery for centuries, and so the chapter often recruited from wherever it found itself. The image wavered. Justinian was losing the machine's false reality. He had been told to concentrate, ordered to, in fact, and he was not. Cursing, he found his way back into the phantasmal world. When he opened his mind's eye again to the hypnomat's lies, he found himself stopped dead at the foot of a mountain carved all around with a single relief depicting the Nova Marines in battle. The story proceeded as a ribbon spiraling all the way to the peak, where a chapter master from times past held aloft a broken sword, his other fist raised in victory. "Let us see the glory in full, for this is Honorum, and it is the most beautiful of worlds," said the voice. With a lurch more sickening than the roughest combat drop, Justinian's consciousness was cast high upwards. The peaks of the Titans shrank, becoming part of the massive heavenward mountains that divided Honorum's sole continent of Honorius in two. From the inhabited part of the Fortress Novum at the centre of the massif, statuary spread out in all directions. All but the furthest reaches of the range had been refashioned into enormous statues. Gigantic aquilae opened screaming beaks at the stars, the individual feathers as large as voidcraft and visible from space. One entire subrange had been carved into busts of the Nova Marines' chapter masters. The most modest was that of Lucretius Corvo, their founder. It had probably all started there, an honour that became a tradition, inflated by repetition into obsession. Beneath the surface, it was the same. Honorum's mountains were riddled with chambers plunging into the deep heats of the world. The mountains were the fortress monastery. The chapter had been adding to its home since its inception. They could have housed 100 chapters in there. It seemed like a ridiculous waste of time to Justinian. Honorius clamped itself to the western hemisphere of the planet as if afraid it would fall off. Honorum was a world of grey, black and white. A grim, monochrome lithograph of a place. The tops of the mountain statues were crusted in snow. Much of the rest of the land was inhospitable highland, brown moors riven with dark valleys, or plateaus of cracked stone pavement. Giant storms, borne over the huge ocean, rolled in relentless succession to batter the continent. Wetter, colder, bleaker, it was even more like Macrag than Macrag. Macrag Ultra, he thought. The chapter must have selected it on purpose for its similarities. A pious choice, part of their need to retain their home culture at the breaking of the Legion. It had not worked. The Nova Marines had drifted and drifted from their roots, until they had become a parody of the Ultramarines. "This is the Rounding Sea, our ocean. It is customary for our new initiates to prove themselves in the deep hunt under its surface." The ocean was flinty black. Only on the continental shelf was the sea a different colour, Pete Brown, with the runoff from a million small rivers that tore away what little fertility the land had. The waves upon the rounding sea were inconceivably huge, and it was cold. He could feel it in his bones. There is something about cold water that gives it a frigidity worse than the void. A Magos would say it was because of the thermal conductivity of water, whereas vacuum is a perfect insulator. That was trite. Justinian's uneasy reaction to the ocean was a primal thing, an ancestral mistrust born of mankind's terror of Terra's long-lost seas. Thick white caps clustered round the poles. Icebergs, as monumental as everything on the unfriendly planet, sailed in armadas from the ever-fracturing pack ice. "This is Onorum. This is our home. This is your home. We shall go to view the..." Poor Bjarni, thought Justinian. He had taken his assignment as badly as only a son of Russ could. Physically, ferociously. The Rudense barracks needed a new refectory after he had finally calmed down. "Can I honestly say I am doing any better?" he thought. He could not take any more.
"Enough!"
he said, though his words were a silent turbulon in water. Justinian tore away the bulky headset that engulfed his head. He felt a rush of faintness from magnetic induction fields stimulating the wrong parts of his brain as the equipment shifted around his skull. He was afloat in a saline tank, his multi-lung breathing brine, oxygenated by a stream of bubbles. A toxin blared. Outside, disapproving machines complained about what he had done to their brother device. The two space marines on the other side of the glass looked barely more pleased. The water rushed out of a grill in the floor of the chamber, leaving him dripping wet and cold, as if Onorum's frigidity had followed him from the machine vision. Was this what it meant to be a Nova Marine, to carry that coldness within him forever? Mentally numb, Justinian clambered up the ladder and out of the hatch. There were a dozen tanks in a line with his, each one playing host to one of the Primaris Marines assigned with him to the chapter. Many of them were now his squad, his brothers, though he had known none of them well before. One tank had its lid open. He was not the only one struggling to assimilate. He wondered who it was.
"Brother Sergeant Paris, come down,"
Captain Oristinio called to him. He and Chaplain Voldires were in full armor. Oristinio was bareheaded. Lines of tattooed images crept up over his neck soft seal to the very top of his throat, curling up round the line of his jaw to touch the corners of his lips. Voldires's features were hidden by his skull mask. As in some other chapters, the chaplains did not reveal their faces to anyone below a certain rank. Justinian could feel Dires's disapproval nonetheless. He clambered down to face them. His bare feet rested on deck plating that vibrated hard. The Star Fortress Gallatin was many times more powerful than any warship, and the working of its reactor arrays conveyed that fact through every bit of its structure. He welcomed it after Onorum's graveyard quiet. The peace of the frigid, marmoreal world was not one he wanted any part of. Captain Oristinio looked dolefully up at him. Justinian was a head taller than he. The captain was born Onorian. You could tell by the expression. It was the kind of face that woke up every day to rain.
"It is not working,"
said Justinian, somewhat petulantly, and the slip in his manners made him angrier. He waved away a pair of serfs in Nova Marine's quartered heraldry, who approached bearing towels. He wanted the water to drip away from him, so he could be free of the memory of that black ocean. The ridiculous idea dogged him that if he dried the water off too quickly, the Black Sea would be angered and plague his dreams. His skin quivered, a hard, canid shudder.
"You fight it, brother," said Voldires.
His voice was as miserable as Oristinio's face, made more so by his vox mask.
"You should not. You must learn of your new home. You must become one of us."
"I am sorry," said Justinian. "Maybe it is my age. Maybe my brain is too developed to accept the machines."
"The Novum Hypnomat works as well on any brain," said Dires. "These machines are used by all our full brothers, as well as our neophytes."
"And is it calibrated for Primaris Marines?"
"It is,"
said Orestinio, to Belisarius' call specifications.
Call?
We asked. He answered, brother, said Orestinio. Justinian let his anger get the better of him.
It is not working. It is
my brother, interrupted the captain gently. I understand. What you have been through is hard. It is no easy thing to undergo the breaking of a brotherhood. Justinian looked from the impassive bone-white helm of the chaplain to Orestinio. He should hold his tongue, he thought. He could not.
How could you understand? You are Honorian, born a Nova Marine.
His tone was sharp.
You would do well to moderate your words, brother, said the chaplain. You address your superior. It is you that is at fault here, not we.
Please, brother chaplain, said Orestinio. He held up his hand without looking at the warrior priest. The fingers curled into a loose fist, but not aggressively. It was a grasp, not a bludgeon, meaning to cradle something delicate.
Listen to me, Justinian Paris.
I do understand, said Orestinio. We have a home, Honorum, and our hearts are there. But we are an itinerant chapter. This is why we place such importance on Honorum and on commemorating the deeds of the dead. These things bind us together when we are apart. We are often distant from one another.
How is this similar to what I experienced? Said Justinian.
Orestinio tilted his head in admonishment. He was not angry. Justinian had the impression he felt sorry for him.
I have not finished, brother. We may fight together for as long as you and the other unnumbered sons did, sometimes longer. We may come to the chapter and grow to some age within a single group. The bonds between us go deep, but we must go where duty commands. When we finally return home, our brotherhoods are broken up according to the demands of war. We may never see our comrades again. Does this sound familiar to you now?
I will never see my brothers again, thought Justinian.
Orestinio gripped Justinian's shoulder.
There is always another brotherhood, brother. Always. You have done many great things in your life already. I have read your combat record.
Justinian gave a hesitant nod.
Come with us. We shall perform a remembrancing. You will receive tattoos of your past glories, as we all bear.
He tucked the edge of his neck soft seal down, revealing the exquisitely inked rendition of a dying Eldari.
So that the Emperor might judge the worth of our deeds when we fall, said the chaplain.
Ordinarily, we require corroboration of auto-censors and brothers from within the chapter, said Orestinio. So we know the act is true. We shall trust you to inform us correctly of your worth. It will help your sense of belonging. You should do it now, before we go into action at Parmenio.
Another time, said Justinian.
He looked away, no longer able to bear the captain's sincere eyes.
That was my old life. This is my new. I shall record the deeds I do in this chapter's service, in this chapter's manner. My old deeds belong in the past.
Very well, said Orestinio.
He was disappointed, but did not insist.
As you desire.
Dires seemed to glare at this rebuffing of the chapter's traditions. Justinian felt it through the skull mask's black eye lenses.
If I may, I would like to go, said Justinian. My squad's duty rotation is not for another 2 hours. I wish to train. There will be little opportunity once we reach Parmenio.
War is our calling.
Go with my blessing, said Orestinio.
Chaplain Vuldires did not offer his.